Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Robert Avrich on the phone. Robert lives in California, a very successful screenwriter, well known in the California market, and is a Kiddush Hashem. I've had the pleasure of meeting him, so it's great. Robert, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Good to
okay.
speak to you.
So you wrote a nice article for the Jewish Action. Warning, Hollywood's coming for your home and children. And I basically, the article talks about how Hollywood shapes some things that happens in society, and you talk about, you know, one of the things that you talk about when you were doing the movie, A Stranger Among Us. So why don't we talk about that a little bit? I mean, the question that I have is this. I mean, does Hollywood really shape society? Does society shape Hollywood?
It's a good question. I think there's a synergistic relationship, but one shouldn't discount the power and influence that Hollywood has over contemporary society. Let me just give you a very simple example.
Sure.
In 1939. There was a film release called It Happened One Night with Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert. And it was directed by Frank Capra. And it's considered one of the great screwball comedies of all time. And in one scene, Clark Gable takes off his shirt. And he was not wearing an undershirt. After the film was released, sales of undershirts plummeted so severely that the schmata industry went into a mini-depression. It was very, very serious. And that's because men saw that Clark Gable was not wearing an undershirt. That's power. A few years earlier, there was a film called Sadie McKee with Joan Crawford. I think it was 1932 or 1933. I forget. But in one scene, she wore an absolutely beautiful dress. And somebody at Macy's had the brilliant idea of knocking off the dress and selling it for, you know, like $5, $6. And they sold over 100,000 copies of Joan Crawford's dress, which was originally designed by Adrian, for, you know, a couple of bucks. Well, again, that's tremendous, tremendous power. The next thing that one should point out is that America has never, ever won a war without Hollywood being solidly behind that war, propagandizing for that war, and basically making movies that support the war effort. Case in point, World War One and World War Two. America, in Korea, Hollywood was deeply ambivalent about the war, and the Korean War came to an uncertain conflict, uncertain end, and basically it's still going on because it never ended. There was an armistice declared. Hollywood was militantly against the Vietnam War. America absolutely lost that war. And again, Iraq and Afghanistan, Hollywood was, again, deeply against those wars, and we could see what's happened over there. So in answer to the question, yes, there's a synergy that goes on, but I believe that when Hollywood sets its mind to do something, to propagandize for something, the effect is very, very powerful. And one of the problems is people don't even realize it, because we in Hollywood are so good at our jobs at kind of hiding the message under a facade of normalcy that people don't realize that their minds are being that their thoughts and their attitudes are being shaped by what they see in Hollywood movies and television. I should include television because, in a sense, right now, in the age we live in right now, television is actually much more powerful than the movies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's really a combination of both then, really, because, I mean, look, there would be no question that I remember when I think which president, I remember my mother used to talk about which president didn't wear a top hat or didn't wear a hat, and all of a
right,
sudden...
Right, that was John F. Kennedy. At his inauguration, didn't wear a top hat. And he didn't wear any hat, and that had a tremendous effect on men's fashion. Basically, men stopped wearing hats.
Right, but yeah. Listen, when you're talking about, I understand that. But when you're talking about, let's say, the kind of programs that they have on TV, or the movies that are being made where they show a family that's not the typical what of the American family was. That's because society has changed and they can do that. It's not that they're setting the trend and this is what they're recommending.
Well, I mean, it's true and it's not true. There is an agenda right now in Hollywood that's not even hidden. I mean, it's right out there in the open, and that agenda is to dispense with a traditional marriage and replace it with whatever. Now, the calling card is basically homosexual marriage. But if you look a little deeper at it, at the whole issue, if you talk, like I have many friends in Hollywood who are homosexual. I mean, it's just the way of the world in Hollywood and the theater and the arts. And when I talk to them about homosexual marriage, and I say, well, what's the case for it? And their answer is very simple. Well, it's love. And love should be the great arbiter of marriage. So I say to them, well, then, so you have no problem with polygamy, right? And that sort of trips them up because they know where I'm heading with that. And so I say, so you mean that a Muslim man can now marry two women or three women or four women? And they say, well, it's apples and oranges. But that's not true. It's not apples and oranges because it's exactly what the issue is. So a few years ago, I don't know if people realize this, but on a show full of friends, there was a lesbian marriage, which was a big thing at the time. And it had a huge effect on the audience. And then a few years later, along came a show called Will and Grace. We had Deborah Messing playing a Jewish girl, and she made constant references to going to Hebrew day school and going to Camp Moshe Vah. And the opening show, the pilot of the show, shows her about to get married, and then her gay friend talks her out of the marriage because he realizes she's ambivalent. She goes and she lives with him. Basically, her relationship with her gay friend is better than any marriage she could ever have. Now, the guys who created this show were both gay, and they spoke very openly that their whole issue was to normalize homosexuality within mainstream it into the American culture. Mm-hmm. Now, that is opened up. Now, I don't believe at the time that this series was made that was going on in American culture. I believe that Hollywood has set its mind on the homosexual agenda, and it is succeeding beyond its wildest expectations.
Mm-hmm. So if you're in Hollywood, you can't be against gay marriage, right? I mean, that would be like, you'd be out of the loop.
Well,
right?
Well, let me put it like this. There are people who will not work with me in Hollywood because I'm openly for traditional marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I say to them very simply, listen, why don't you think the Muslim community hasn't come out wildly against gay marriage because their hashkafa is against homosexuality, right?
They
say yes. I say, why don't you ever hear from them? They don't know. They have no idea. But the answer is very simple because they understand that the homosexual marriage opens up the legal door for polygamy, which is basically Sharia law. And they love it. When I point this out to my friends in Hollywood, you know, that you're opening up the door to a bunch of people who really want to behead you, they just dismiss me as if I'm insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least they used to until ISIS came along and they started beheading people, you know, on YouTube. But I think that it's almost a done deal. And I think that Hollywood has lavished tremendous amounts of attention and artistry and craft on this issue, and they've won the American public over.
But yet, at the same time, they portray, it would seem, the last few years, it seems like the villain, you know, there's always a new villain in the movies and the whatever it is, and the villain today seems to be more of a Muslim type of person or something like that, as opposed to years ago when it was, you know, the Indian or the, you know, the Russian guy or whatever it is.
If that's true, I'd like you to give me an example. Because I know for a fact, and I've worked on films that have been put on hold because Muslims have been portrayed as terrorists. As a matter of fact, what they do in Hollywood is that they take another route. Is that they usually turn a Muslim terrorist into quote-unquote, Christian identity or a neo-Nazi or a communist or something like that.
Who are the bad guys? So who are the bad guys today in Hollywood?
Well, definitely on television, the people most made fun of are religious Christians. Those are the people who come in the most scorn of anybody else. So religious Christians.
No, but when you go to the
Republicans.
What I'm talking about, like these action movies where they're, you know, plotting to blow up the world and they're going to do whatever it is. It's who is it today? I mean, who's the villain that's blowing up the world?
Well, if you're talking about the movies, it's Transformers and it's comic book heroes. So we're talking about generic bad guys. But the only two shows where you ever see Muslims portrayed as terrorists are our Homeland, and there it gets a bit odd and a bit strange, and the 24 franchise, which they will show Muslim terrorists. But basically, everybody else keeps away from that.
Too controversial. So is it possible today in Hollywood to make the old-fashioned kind of TV series where, I don't even know the name. I mean, I don't want to date myself with Father Knows Best or something like that. But
that's dead.
Dead. So you can't have it anyway where the husband and wife, and the wife is home taking care of the kids and the husband is doing what he's doing and dead.
Right, that's impossible. I mean, last night my wife and I were watching a show called Ray Donovan, and I remarked at her one particularly ghastly point in the show. I said, you realize, of course, that this is the postmodern version of Father Knows Best. And she just laughed hysterically because the idea of Father Knows Best is so far from the realm of possibility that you would just get laughed at. I mean, it's just not possible anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I actually read, by the way, that guy is actually, he's a Jewish guy, isn't he?
I'm sorry, what?
Ray Donovan, isn't he a Jewish person?
Well, the actor is named Rick Schreiber.
I'm talking about the actor, right?
Yeah, he's a Jewish guy. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's dead. Okay. So that's a dead issue.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at,
and I'm not saying that we should return to that because that is of its time and of its place, but the whole notion of the nuclear family is a far shore for Hollywood now. Basically, what Hollywood is involved in right now is redefining the family. And basically what they're saying is that there is no family anymore, that everything is family. But of course, the problem arises, it's a tautology. If everything is family, then nothing is family.
Yeah, I hear you. So now how do they look at you? They know you're an Orthodox Jew. So what's their perception of you?
That's the least of my problems. Being from in Hollywood has never been a problem for me. A, because my films have done very, very well, and because I won an Emmy Awards, and I'm good at what I do. My problem in Hollywood is a problem of values. My values are very different than 99.9% of the people in Hollywood. And those values are basically conservative values, which translate into Torah values. I mean, I didn't become a conservative just out of the clear blue. It comes from, you know, being a Torah
Jew. Right, exactly right. So when we look at our society and the Orthodox Jewish community and we look at the more, let's say, you know, right-wing kind of society and who frowns upon anything to do with entertaining movies, TVs, and so on, I mean, maybe they've got a pretty good point.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
In other words, in the Orthodox Jewish society, you know, with a big umbrella, I mean, there's a segment in the Orthodox Jewish society that will say, we don't want to have a TV in our house.
I understand that perfectly. Yeah, no question about it. There is a lot to be said for that. But, I have to point out that you can hide yourself only so much. And then that even those values that you're trying to inculcate yourself against, they seep into your lives no matter what. Just you walk down the street and you look at advertising, you know, for Calvin Klein jeans or for Chanel pocketbooks or for this or for that. No matter what happens, you open up Vogue magazine, or you open up Marie Claire, those values are affecting you one way. There's no way that they can't, because it's all-encompassing. But it's true that if you keep the television out of your house, you're probably doing your children a tremendous favor. Though I have to admit, there are a lot of things that I enjoy. there's very good stuff. The truth is, Hollywood is very good at what it does, which is why it's so powerful, why it's such the most powerful propaganda machine the world has ever known.
No question.
It's more powerful than Stalin did it through repression and through mass murder. Hollywood does it through entertainment. And you tell me which is going to have a greater effect on the world.
No, there's no question. So then when you think about it, you say to yourself, maybe we have to change our educational system because it is going to be in the world, like it or not. So you really can't isolate totally. It's impossible.
It's very hard to isolate yourself. Let me just say one thing that I think is very important, because people ask me, what do we do? So here's what I do. I teach a course of screenwriting at Euler Girls School here in Los Angeles. It's the only screenwriting course in the yeshiva in the known universe. And I have a group of very solid girls. And one of the things I teach them, besides screenwriting, is I teach them how to read a movie. In other words, I give them the tools, sort of like, Rashi. What's this scene telling you? What's it teaching you? I'm teaching them how to read between the lines of a movie. What's really going on? And so when they go to the movies and we come back and we talk about them, they understand the subliminal messages. So I think it's very important that if you do have television in your house and you sit down and watch a show, that you be able to talk to your children about what is really the message of the show. Because every show on television, whether it's Project Runway, or whether it's Ray Donovan, or whether it's Breaking Bad, they all have a spine. They have a narrative spine that gives you a very powerful message. And if you can discuss this message with your children, then I think you will alleviate a tremendous amount of damage and be able to actually, make them smarter kids.
I got you. No, it's really great. What are you working on now? What are the things you're working on now?
Well, I don't talk about stuff that I'm working on.
Okay.
But it's a thriller, and the way Hollywood propagandizes for what they believe, I propagandize for what I believe, and the story that I'm working on now is a great thriller, but there is a subliminal message in there.
Terrific. Well, listen, we really appreciate it. I'm sure everyone who reads the article is going to find it really fascinating. You've written articles before for the Jewish Action, and it's well read and well received. So I really appreciate you coming on the show. And I think people now have a little different understanding of what's going on in Hollywood. So we've been talking to Robert Avrich, and thank you so much. And have a great day.
You're very welcome.
Bye bye.
Thank you for having me. Okay. Bye bye.